this morning as we continue the Christmas series that I've entitled The Gift, but I'd like to give today's message a subtitle, Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible, because this is the God we serve, the God that can do the impossible. And if there's ever a time of year where we're reminded of that, it's this time of year, Advent, Christmas, time where we reflect, remember the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then what happens thereafter. So let's pray, then we'll get into the text today, which is going to be Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. So please just join me in a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this opportunity to break bread with your people, your word. Living manna, Lord, came down from heaven. We have this word, which is divinely inspired. We believe it by faith today. Help it, Lord, to just penetrate the ears and the hearts of those that are listening here in the sanctuary, maybe online, might listen thereafter. Father, use it, for it's faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, we'll look at those verses. And of course, we know this account. And for those of you who have heard me say this, I'll say it again. I have learned a while back, and I held on to this, that I believe that everything in the Old Testament or everything in the New Testament is an account, not a story. Yes, it's a story, but we have a tendency to think some stories are not true. Some are fiction, some are nonfiction. So you'll always hear me say account. But this account, we know very well. It is about the announcement, the annunciation, where the angel Gabriel, as he did with Zacharias, will appear to Mary and announce the fact that Mary will bring forth a son 6 months after the birth of John the Baptist, which, by the way, is another miraculous birth to an elderly woman, Mary's cousin, named Elizabeth. So with that being said, let's look at the text of the Annunciation in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. 6 months again, meaning 6 months into the pregnancy of Elizabeth, the wife of Zacharias, the cousin of Mary, unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now let me pause, because those of you who are familiar with Nazareth know this. It was the city. Just like where we were at the Open Door Mission the other night, just like the heart of the city of Rochester, I mean deep places, Conkey Avenue, Avenue D, the places where the murders are, the places where the drugs are, the places where the prostitutes are, Lyle Avenue, this is what Nazareth was like. It was a place of drunkards. It was a slum, a ghetto of the present day. So much so that Nathanael said, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip, the other disciple, said unto him, "Come and see." That happened with a few individuals Friday night, did it not? Alice, Jim, Brian, come and see. Come and see if there's any good thing that could come out of Nazareth. And so the birth of our Lord and Savior, where he grew up, was no coincidence. It was very intentional. It was prophesied about in Isaiah and the other prophets. And Gabriel is here for this annunciation. To who? Verse 27. To a virgin, a spouse. That would be kind of like modern day engagement, although the process was a bit different back then. To a virgin, a pure woman, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel, verse 28, came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou or you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women." We all remember these words that the angel speaks to Mary. What special words they are. Put yourself in Mary's situation. She's a teenager. We don't know the exact age, maybe 14, 15, 16, something, 17. She's a teenager. Back then, that's when they would be espoused. Marriages were arranged by families. That still happens in other cultures today. And to be espoused at the age of 14, 15, 16 was not uncommon. Things were much different back then. And so imagine this situation, this pure, undefiled, godly woman, an angel appears. The same angel that appeared to Zacharias when he was in the temple. In the same chapter just a little bit earlier. And he has an announcement, and that is, Mary, you're highly favored. And that would be the same for every person who was born of the Spirit of God today. You are highly favored. All I did was bow. All I did was pray. All I did was worship. Isn't that what we just sang? That's all you did. You are highly favored if you are a chosen child of God today. That's not Arminianism. That's not Calvinism. That's Bible. That's Bible. Mary was chosen simply because of God. And this angel is a special ambassador, representative of the Most High. Verse 29, and when she saw him, meaning the angel Gabriel, she was troubled. You would be too. I've never seen a real angelic being before me. It tells us in Hebrews we may be entertaining angels unaware, but I've never seen an angelic being in front of me. If you did, you would probably, in all likelihood, be much like Mary or much like Zacharias was when the Gabriel appeared to him. And in verse 13, to backtrack, the angel said to Zacharias when he appeared the same thing. Fear not, Zacharias, your prayer is heard. He says to Mary, in verse 30, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Today, there's two things I'd like to share with you. Fear not. God has heard your prayer. Fear not. You are highly favored. That's what God speaks to you. No fear. 365 times in the New Testament, fear not. Fear not, little flock, Jesus says. For it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see, we have to remember who our God is. And this is the time of the year. All the more so, I was sitting back in the back of the sanctuary holding on to my little girl. And I'm reminded that's how God holds on to me. Why? Because I'm highly favored. Because of what I've done? No. Absolutely not. But because of what God has done for me and for you and for anyone who is called out upon his name, he will save. That's the only reason why. But to remember the goodness of God that leads to repentance and to remember how God holds you in the palm of his hand, he says, I've lost none. I've lost none. You see, I believe when God saves you, God seals you. I believe the Bible teaches that. You have an everlasting Father, not a temporary Father, an everlasting Father in Jesus Christ. So here's the background. Here's the setting. Imagine it. And here comes this specific announcement, instruction to Mary, who was a bit troubled. Verse 31, and behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth the Son and shall call his name Jesus. Yeshua, God is salvation. The Lord is salvation. Can you imagine this? Again, why was Mary chosen? Because she was highly favored. God chose her. That's the only reason why. Mary fell short of the glory of God. Mary was a Romans 3:23 person, although Romans wasn't written yet at this time. She was a Romans 3:23 person, just like everyone here at Spencerport, just like everybody at Hope Christian, just like everybody at You Fill in the Blank Church today. God chose her. He chose her to carry the Son of God that was prophesied about in Isaiah chapter 9 upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. How long? Forever. Isaiah 22:22, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, that's Jesus, so he shall open and none shall shut and none shall open. He said this also to the church of Philadelphia, the faithful, obedient church that had a little strength in Revelation. Nazareth, a little strength. Do you see the pattern? Mary, a lowly handmaiden. Let's find out just a little bit more about Mary, because if you go to the Song of Mary or the Magnificat in verse 46 of the same chapter, listen to what Mary says. And Mary said in verse 46 of chapter 1, my soul does magnify the Lord. This is proof of submission in Mary, acknowledging who God is. And my spirit is rejoiced in God my Savior. Proof that she's acknowledging the Savior. For he has regarded the lowest state of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations, including this one, shall call me blessed. Not co-redemptress, by the way. Just blessed. What does blessed mean? Favored. Divinely. That's what it means. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. He's done it. He chose me. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Those are Mary's words, Mary's song of how she felt about this. Handmaiden of the Lord, lowly servant. That's the attitude of somebody who serves Christ. Notice Mary wasn't like, I knew it. You picked the right one, God. Go ahead, do your thing. God opposes pride. He hates it, a proud look. He hates it, but he gives grace to the Marys of the world. To those that realize that they're in need of a Savior. And if you have an opportunity this Christmas season to talk to somebody who knows not this Christ we speak of, you need to explain to them what Savior means. This is the day and age we live in. You must understand the day and the age we live in. We live in the age of ground zero. What does that mean? The generation that's coming up, with the exception of David and Anissa and some others, God always has a remnant, but I ran into a young lady recently who is a professor at a local school, and she said, I show pictures of a baby and a mother, and they don't know who it is. I show pictures of the cross. It's ground zero. Why would someone know they need a Savior if they don't know what they need to be saved from, and they don't know what a Savior is? What do they need to be saved from? You need to tell them sin, hell, death, and themselves, who ends up being your biggest enemy when you are saved, the flesh. That's what you're saved from. And Mary realized, as she sang this song, she rejoiced in the Savior. She realized what was happening, although she was troubled at first. Verse 32, he shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. That's the Father. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, as we read Isaiah 9, verse 1 through 7. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob, how long? Forever. And how long will his kingdom last? There'll be no end. Now listen to the response of Mary. This is common. This is just like Nicodemus. When Nicodemus was told he had to be born again, he said, well, I'm an old man. How am I going to go back into my mother's womb? Why? Because salvation is of the Lord, because the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. And Mary says this. She says this in response. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? You see, every birth before Mary, since Mary, involves a seed. A seed is required. Seed and an egg, but a seed is required. Even if you do a special medical procedure, you need a seed. But not this birth. Not this birth. Why? Because this would be the birth of the Savior. This would be a miracle, not possible with man, but possible with God. And this birth had to be fully man, fully God, for imperfect man to be reconciled to a perfect God. And that's what's about to take place. This is the beginning. Notice, Joseph says that this Savior would be of the house of David. That would be his lineage, but not the seed. Because all the others involved a man and a woman knowing each other, as the King James says, or being intimate with each other. We know that. But not this one. Not this birth. It's amazing to me now that the angel will actually answer Mary. Because to Zacharias, when Zacharias says, I'm old, my wife's old, the angel says, you're not going to talk till you believe. And I've prayed about, said, Lord, why? How come we have the grace here with Mary, but not so much the mercy with Zacharias? And here's what I believe. Could be wrong. Zacharias was in the stead of God. He was a priest. He was chosen to go in and offer that incense. And yet he didn't believe when an angel of God was standing before him. How can you represent God and not have faith to believe in that God? Can't. That's why it's to be taken seriously. When you're a man of God, you're a woman of God, and you're in any position of leadership, when you serve God in any capacity, it's to be taken seriously. If your leaders don't believe it's possible, then how will those that follow them believe? They won't. And then, of course, we know Zacharias, once John came, his tongue was loosed, and he began to praise the Lord. But there's lessons in that. There's lessons in that for us. And so in verse 35, the angel answered, said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Let me say that again, the Holy Ghost. He's God. The Holy Ghost is God. He's as much God as the Christ that will be put into the womb of Mary. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest, that's the Father, shall overshadow thee. Do you notice the Trinity? There's the Trinity. The Trinitarian, the Godhead, in this verse. The Godhead, the Trinity, is throughout Scripture, even in Genesis, at the very beginning of it. You must explain to people this Christmas season, if they inquire, who the God is that you believe in and serve. As I was explaining to someone recently, it's 1 × 1 × 1, not 1 + 1 + 1. We don't worship three gods. We worship one God that exists in three persons. And here's an example. Here's the concert, the unity, the working of the Trinity right here in verse 35. Holy Ghost, the highest, Christ, the Son of God, will be put into the womb of Mary. Verse 36, and behold, your cousin Elizabeth, Zacharias' wife, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. But what's the difference in these two births? Both are impossible. I have a little woman who I pray that she comes on Christmas Eve. She's kind of like a grandmother. We call her Bubby. She's 87. I promise you, if you see Bubby, there's no way in the world you would ever think she could get pregnant. It's not possible for an 87, a 90-year-old woman like Elizabeth at any point in history for them to get pregnant. But with God, it is. Anything. Part the Red Sea. Fish and loaves. Water into wine. Now I want to challenge your theology for a minute. And let me say this to you. I challenge your theology and your doctrine in the spirit of love. You can challenge mine, by the way. I am not here to divide. I'm here to bring together. I'm here to unify. I'm here to glorify. But let me ask you a question, just food for thought for a minute. We put limits on God. Not him. We put limits on God. Think about this for a moment. Raise your hand if you want to, if you believe in the rapture of the church. Okay, some of you are raising your hand. Some of you just don't want, I told you you don't have to. You believe that God will snatch up in a second in bodily form those who are saved, chosen. But yet you don't believe that God can perform a miracle today? You don't believe that God could have someone do something supernatural today? That defies common sense. This is a challenge to you to pray about and think about and really consider, have what we've been taught, myself included, because it's happened to me over the years, has what I've been taught, is it Bible or is it something else? Did I take a little snippet out of Scripture to make it fit what I believe and not what the Word of God teaches? We have to ask ourselves that. Every cult leader, not every, but I've mentioned the names here before. Many cult leaders, they use this same book to manipulate people or to make them think they have it down when they don't. This book will be studied. This is the Word of God. He gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. Do you know when you handle this book with pride, you become very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. To yourself and those around you. God loves to break theological boxes. That's what I've noticed in my lifetime. Loves to do it. Why? Because he's the God of the impossible. Would you really believe if this happened today, if someone came to you and said, Bubby's pregnant? I wouldn't. But this is what's going on here. Elizabeth is pregnant. The difference in this birth is that it was a seed of a man, but it's still miraculous. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And here comes the Son. Therefore also that holy thing. Only King James says this. I've thought about this for a long time. This holy thing. Indescribable. How do you describe this miraculous birth? It was prophesied about with the prophets hundreds of years before. But it said the holy thing. In other verses it says holy babe, holy child. Which shall be born of thee shall be called Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in old age. This is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. He can raise the dead. He could do anything he wants because he's God. He's raised you from the dead, if you're born again. You were dead in trespasses and sins. He gave you life. But you see, I also believe he can take a dead body and raise it up if he chooses to, because he's God. And if you know me well enough by now, you realize, I'll say it again, I am not flying around in the clouds somewhere. I am telling you about the God that I know. I'm telling you about the God of the Bible. That's what I'm called to do. Make you believe it? Can't do that. No man can. Make Mary believe it? Not possible. But listen to her response, and we'll shortly close with this. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Wow. The statement that Mary made is the statement of a fully committed, sold out, all in, Jesus loving, God adoring, God glorifying, Holy Spirit led disciple of the Lord and King, Jesus Christ. And that's the response of all of us if we fit that description. I believe by faith. See, I live around miracles. I have a friend of mine, he's supposed to come here on Christmas Eve. You'll never forget him. Number one, because he's 6'7". Number two, because he was a homeless drug addict. But now, he's a saved child of God who preaches the gospel. In Nazareth, in our Nazareth, in our Jerusalem. See, that's a miracle. See, don't get caught up. See, we think of miracles, gold dust, all this stuff. Do you know the difference, child of God? Do you have the Holy Ghost in you? If you have the Holy Ghost in you, you have discernment. You know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And yet people who say they have the Holy Ghost really don't. Because if you have the Holy Ghost, how can you believe somebody's rolling around on the floor acting like a chicken and say that that's the Holy Spirit? You see, friends, when you read the Word of God, when you study the Word of God, when you pray, when you seek Him, you know what the Holy Spirit does? He leads you into all truth. Points you to Jesus. Totally in concert together. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. We just saw it right here. We just saw it. And so, let me end with this. Questions to reflect upon in this Christmas season. Four of them. And then I believe Tom will come up to close. Number one, do we really believe our God is the God of the impossible? Do we really believe that? Number one. Number two, are we willing to do what God asks of us, even when it's not practical and does not make sense in the natural, staying home and taking care of your children when the bills don't line up? I have an example of that today. Number three, can we say, "Be it unto me according to thy word," as Mary, no matter what is asked of us? And then number four, do we have all our hope in Christ? Is every ounce of our being in the highest, the living almighty God who has told us, like Zacharias, "Fear not, your prayer is heard." Like Mary, "Fear not, you have found favor with God." He's the same God. He's the same God today. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. See, the deception today is that what you see is more important than what you believe. That's the deception today. What you're seeing around you is more important than what you believe. Let me encourage you to set your affections on things above. The eternal. Not the temporal. Mary needed all of these God words, we'll call them, at the Annunciation. Trust, believe, faith, hope, submission, surrender. Because the plan had the potential to bring shame, disgrace, alienation, ostracization, loneliness, but she accepted it by faith in what she could not see. How could this babe be put into my womb? I know not a man, because with God, all things are possible. That's why. That's the God you serve. That's the God I serve, by his grace alone, in faith alone, through Christ alone. Amen? I'm looking forward to Christmas services. I'm looking forward to those. I pray you are too. Let's pray together, and then we'll have time come up. No rush today if you have to leave. It's Christmas season, but if you want to stay, you know you're welcome to stay and talk. I always enjoy that afterwards. So please join me in a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this opportunity. You are the God of the impossible. We either believe it or we don't. Zacharias didn't, and his consequences were silence. Mary did, and her consequence was surrender and submission. Father, let us learn from both. Let us learn from your word. We thank you so much, for we have Emmanuel, God with us. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name, and all of Spencerport Bible said, amen. God bless you.